You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
This morning with Louise Delaney, Senior Lecturer in the Department of Public Health at the University of Otago and a member of Tax Justice Aotearoa New Zealand. Morena, Louise, how are you today?
Morena, and thank you very much for having me.
It's great to have you on the show. We are going to talk about the National Party's tax policy, which was announced yesterday, to quite a lot of commentary. Straight off the bat, what's your biggest takeaway from their announcement?
My takeaway, I think, is that while seeming to be a comprehensive policy, in lots of ways it isn't. It misses out an analysis of and making up for the benefits that some people will get with a few extra dollars by many disadvantages that those same people might well have, as well as disadvantages that other people will have. That's my first takeaway. Mm-hmm. I'm allowed another one.
Absolutely.
My second takeaway is that the analysis of good advantages for some people in having a few extra dollars in their pockets is not made up for the fact that the main part of the tax, which is adjusting thresholds, is going to cost an awful lot of money. Mm. And where is that revenue going to be coming from? Where, for example, a superannuitant who gains an extra, whatever it is, 20 odd dollars a fortnight is not going to be awfully grateful for that when they front up to the accident emergency services at a health facility and require immediate treatment. So we've got to think of all the things we need to spend money on, as well as the extra dollars that some people will have. So we need to have a comprehensive policy that takes into account all these things and a comprehensive analysis of all the benefits and disadvantages, both for particular people and for society as a whole.
Mm. That has been a big conversation, even prior to the announcement from the National Party yesterday about the actual plan, about how National was going to pay for all of these proposed tax cuts, tax threshold changes that they have been hinting at for a while and, of course, now actually released. And it is looking like it is going to be much more of a services cuts situation. The PSA has come out this morning, very concerned about it. What do you see as being some of the, I guess, the most dangerous areas or areas in the most danger of perhaps losing support or losing some funding if they get into government and this policy goes through?
It's going to make decisions very hard for some people, whether they're parents with families. You know, do they want to lose, do they want to gain a few extra dollars at the same time seeing some of their early education, for example, centres not so able to put up to provide the same services, or at least to have to do more expensively. And in terms of the idea of cutting, quote, back office functions, the national policy is extremely hazy on what those back office functions are. There are a little list of them, a little list of examples, including communications people, policy people, and an awful lot of our health services and all other services dependent on well thought out, well costed policies to begin with. So if we dispense with all those wonderful policy analysts, we won't know how to go about doing or analysing whatever it is that we want to do. In other ways, it's not clear what a back office person is.
It's
a person, for example, in the health service. Okay, we all know about frontline people such as nurses and doctors, but there has to be somebody to organise the supplies of, needles and syringes to those nurses, medical supplies. There needs to be somebody who organises the financial services, which we'll try and work out which is best. There needs to be people who do the cleaning. Is that a back office function? Because it doesn't actually require face-to-face contact with a patient. So exactly what a back office function is for me, as a former, you know, public health servant, I have to say, extremely unclear. So that's one area where I think that it is simply not clear where these so-called cuts are going to provide benefits. The and I really do think they need more definition.
One of the things I just wanted to ask, Louise, is we've had, you know, I guess this has been something that there's been a lot of anticipation for this as a policy announcement. How does it actually stack up to what we were expecting to hear from the National Party? Are there any sort of surprises in what we've heard, or is this kind of what people have been assuming we were going to see come out of this policy?
I think we were assuming the adjustment to thresholds idea. That had been well signalled quite a while ago, I think. And talk about back office functions and not being essential, etc., that has been vaguely on the horizon for some time. For me, and I'm not saying I'm an expert on all aspects of tax policy, it was a bit of a surprise that the announcement of an additional tax on foreign house buyers who wish to buy a house over $2 million. Because I thought to myself, Are we sort of, what's the story about these foreign buyers? I thought we weren't allowing them at all, which is actually more or less the existing policy. So that would require a law change in relation to foreign buyers. In addition, it's not totally clear, unless you keep on reading, from the Labor Party, from the national policy, that of course this won't apply to an awful lot of foreign buyers. First of all, those who buy houses less than $2 million, so that's presumably quite a big group, and also those buyers from countries with whom we have reciprocal agreements of some kind, which mean that the tax simply wouldn't be able to be applied. I think there's a bit of a debate on exactly which countries we have such agreements, but in any case, my general assumption from the discussion that's already been had and the analysis that's already been had is that we actually don't know how much money this quote new policy will give New Zealand in terms of tax cuts. And if I was a foreign buyer, I would be awfully keen on buying houses that were a bit less than $2 million.
So
that was a surprise to me, possibly not other commentators, but I didn't know that that had been signalled beforehand.
It is an interesting element of it as well. There has also been, and I wonder how much you would want to talk about this, there has also been discussion about dipping into the climate fund for some to fund some other projects.
You're quite right, and that perhaps is a main and a more important one than the foreign buyers issue. I know that certainly James Shaw is pretty outraged by this, and I think that for all of us, including perhaps especially younger people, who are going to live much more than older people, to see the effects of climate change, that this is something that we should really, really care about and be upset about. And so that was certainly something that I hadn't anticipated coming. To some extent, lots of our policy is built on a certain degree of dividend, for a certain degree of expectation that at least some money is going to be made available to think about future climate change issues and adaptation to them and prevention of some of the risks.
It's going to be an interesting one to watch how the, I guess, the analysis of this over the next weeks falls out. But Louise, thank you so much for your thoughts on it this morning. Really appreciate your time today. Have a great rest of your Thursday and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Kia ora.
Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.